All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pylon Podcast. Cantley Elliott, Miles Harris, Emilio Pena, and we're talking about these conference championship games this weekend. They're going to be a lot of fun, man. These are some pretty heavyweight matchups. We're going to start with the NFC. And Miles, I'll let you do the honors since your boys are you're representing.
Bro, how much time you about to give me? No, I'm just kidding.
Bro, hey, the floor is yours, man. This, man. You know.
I'm excited to get a chance to kind of talk about a team like this, get a chance to play in the Super Bowl. Obviously, I'm a big Eagles fan. I'll be honest with you. I know we had talked a little bit earlier, Cantley. I was, like, really, really excited and really confident at first. And I'm still confident. I'm so torn because I'm like, I really, really feel like the Eagles might blow the doors off this 49ers. I'm not even going to lie. And it's really, like, when we talk about, like, heavyweights, because you already mentioned that, though, too, bro. I mean, like, honestly, when it comes to toe-to-toe, I mean, both these teams have a defense. Most of the teams have, like, an efficient and, like, obviously weapons on offense. So when it comes down to that quarterback play, like, is Brock Purdy going to be able to come into one of the most hostile environments in the NFL and take that team to a Super Bowl? Like, no shade, but, like, Emilio saw firsthand how much that crowd played a factor in that 2017 NFC Championship game with that pick
six.
Not
for real. They were cheering injuries that game.
I mean, but like that pick six changed the game, like single-handedly. And I just feel like it's a similar situation that's going to happen with this game. This is easily Brock Purdy's biggest game of his entire career, even going back to his college days. Cause I was like looking up stats. I'm like, how was he doing with Iowa State? And I mean, he was going 7-6, 9-3, whatever, like, and never really competing for like big, you know what I mean? Like championship game or conference championship games, any of that stuff. So, I really like the Eagles heavy in this one. For some reason, I just feel like the defense has got to get to the quarterback early. If they can get to him early and really make him like, you know, feel that pressure. I felt like watching that game against Dallas, he came down to earth a bit. Not really seeing him throwing multiple touchdowns, not really seeing him throw for like, you know, 250 or whatever. I felt like that was the more human-like game I've seen him play like all year. But I'm excited. I'm excited for sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one. And I was actually looking at a article on CBS before we hopped on here to kind of get a little bit of insight, you know, just from their end of things. But it's funny you talk about, you know, the different positions in this game, and it's pretty much like evenly matched. I think the breakdown, I think San Francisco won five of the categories. I think Philadelphia won five of the categories, from like quarterback to running back, receivers, O-line, whatever. So I'm like, it really is like super even, but it really does come down to the quarterbacks. I think, you know, this is when the guys, when their legacies are made, like when they're on the line. And Jalen Hurts, he's been spectacular all year. My pick is still San Francisco, but really this is one where it's like, I think for me personally, San Francisco is like 51% them, 49% the. I mean, it's like,
right. It's a pick-em game,
yeah,
right?
Like, it really is, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't blame anybody for picking San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco's won, what, 12 straight now? So they've looked really, really good. And Brock Purdy has obviously proven that he can play in the NFL. But, and I always find it interesting, too, because everybody's like, well, how healthy is Jalen Hurts? Bro, it's the NFC Championship game. Nobody's healthy at this point in the season.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. Nobody's healthy. So, like, it doesn't matter at this point. And he's just like, I think the one thing I like about Hurts the most, though, too, is that, like, I mean, I follow it a little bit more, too, because I'm a fan. But, like, every week, it doesn't matter if they play Chicago, it doesn't matter if they play Dallas, but he always respects the defense. So I feel like he's going to be prepared for whatever comes in when it comes to San Francisco. Obviously, they haven't seen a defense like that before, but it's not that he's not doing his film and doing his research as far as getting ready to go up against that team. Because I'll tell you what, like, Bosa, Warner, I mean, those guys are freaking fast.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious what Emilio thinks, though.
Yeah.
I'm really, really curious.
The other NFC fan of the,
right,
the pod,
curious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be with Cantley here. I think it's San Francisco, but like you said, 51, 49%. You guys made a lot of really great points there, Miles. I think I saw that Brock Purdy, I think this is only his third road game. So, you know, he's been in San Francisco, Levi Stadium, this whole run, comfort of his own home, own fans, you know, the support there. So, like you said, Philly is an extremely hostile environment. I think they booed Santa one time. So, you know, they're not afraid to boo anyone. But I think really like the first two drives, when we see San Francisco's offense, we'll get a feel of like how this game is going to go. Because those are like the scripted plays. So if he can execute some scripted plays, then maybe once, you know, you throw the game plan out the window, he might be able to hold you in there. But if they're struggling with those scripted plays, then it could be a long day for number 13 in red.
I want to ask you this, though, Emilio. I'll stay on you for a second. And Miles, I'll ask you the same question in a second.
Yeah.
when you're – and the, one of the reasons why I'm, like, really sold, I think, on San Francisco is obviously Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. And I was actually reading. I saw McCaffrey in 10 starts. He has over 50 receptions – or he has 50 receptions this season. And I'm just wondering, with a running back who can catch that well, like, what does that do to that defensive line of the Eagles? You look at them, they have – I think it was either 70 or over 70 sacks this year, which I'm like, that's absurd. So I'm like – when you have a running back like McCaffrey that can catch and he's a little more versatile, he's not just running up the middle, like what does that, what kind of position does that put Philly's defense in?
Yeah, for me, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I break down film or anything and can tell you anything like that, but you know, the running back can catch is always going to be like a safety net for a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback. You know, you can get some design plays for him, just get the ball in his hand, get some confidence in the running back, get some confidence in the quarterback. I hope that answers your question, but real quick, yeah. I did want to say, I think Christian McCaffrey might be the best midseason acquisition in NFL history, especially
they talked about that a couple weeks ago. They asked, they said, is that trade one of the best? And I also do think it depends on how far they go. I mean, granted, correct, they already have made an NFC championship game, but obviously that kind of flipped the switch, especially when Garoppolo went down, like how much, like you said, that safety net he's really turned into. Mm-hmm. Another point that I do want to bring up to you guys, I mean, we're kind of talking about injuries. You guys know that neither one of those guys have practiced yet this week, right?
Really?
Yeah. I probably should have done that before making
that's
my
crazy.
Pick.
Neither one of those guys have practiced yet this week. They both were hurt in that game. Elijah Mitchell's got a groin injury, and then McCaffrey has like a bruised like calf or something. Not saying that they're not going to play. Right. We're talking about what how efficient or effective these guys are going to be. Like that has to be a factor. Going back to your question though. Yeah. It just keeps the defense on their toes, though, man. Like, a guy that you don't know if they're going to run, if they're going to pass, whatever they're going to do, and even if they feel like they've got one side of the field locked down, having that safety net makes such a big factor. And for this type of a matchup, it just, especially when you're dealing with a guy like Purdy, who may not have that much experience, having, like, that much superstar power, even without them, Deebo Samuel, even having a tight end like George Kittle, like, those are the
Brandon
positions
Ayuk.
That you – yeah, not as much Ayuk, but like having a tight end and having a fast receiver that they can work with so much with so little, like that is what makes a difference. And so if Purdy can find those guys and escape pressures and do that, that is what I worry about most. Yeah. Being a Philly fan, though, I know that one of their slot corners, Avante Maddox, might come back and play. And if he's able to play, I feel like that shuts down or even limits and smalls that window even more when it comes to having a guy like Christian McCaffrey available, because that gives him a chance to kind of blitz freely or whatever too.
Yeah.
So it's tricky, man. He's so shifty. He's so fast. Like even with Deebo, and if they're both on the field at the same time, it's like who do you cover, right? Like,
see, I'm glad you brought up San Fran's weapons though, and then you guys at secondary, because that's kind of one of the other things I wanted to talk about. When you do look at the Eagles secondary, when you look, it's like Bradbury, Slay. I mean, like, that's going to be a good matchup, I think, against those receivers for San Fran.
Dude, I feel like this is the best defense that Brock Purdy is going to go up against. And I felt like Dallas played an amazing game defensively last week. And I felt like as far as potential or as far as, like, capabilities, Philadelphia has that, if not probably more, because they have, like, what, four defenders on the line that have gotten over 10-plus sacks this year. They've gotten, like, two of the top corners in the league with Bradbury and Slay. And then you can't forget about the safety with C.J. Gardner-Johnson as well, who's also been ball hawk back at safety. So it's like, to me, when I look at it, obviously I'm a little favored, but it's just like, how does a rookie quarterback like Purdy come in and adapt? It's not that he can't. He has the potential, the power, and the weapons to do it, but it's like, my faith is in a team that's been doing it all year, though, too.
Yeah.
So not just any rookie quarterback either. Like the last pick.
The last pick, exactly. Like I didn't want to say it like that, but
he wasn't a first round pick for a reason. Like
somebody saw something we didn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. But no, I think Miles, what you're saying is actually that it's really good with Emilio's point. You know, this is gonna be the best defense that Purdy has faced all year, but like Emilio was saying, you come out with a guy like McCaffrey, you know, you're getting some, you know, plays with him involved, like throwing him the ball, you're getting short plays to Kittle. I mean, like, I think, like you said, once you kind of get those things going, like getting, you know, you have your plays scripted, it just does make it a little bit easier. I think if he gets that confidence going, like Emilio said, the first two drives are going to be crucial. So you see what they do there. I'm really excited to see, like, you know, what they do on those first couple of drives.
I do want to ask you guys a question, though, too.
Yeah.
With this game being in Philadelphia, do you like that? And not just because it's a home field advantage for Philly. Mm-hmm. But when you got a West Coast team coming all the way out east,
true,
in the beginning of January,
yeah,
does that matter or play a factor for y'all? Like, do you see that as a factor?
I
not
think
right
it
now.
Go ahead, Emilio.
Okay, I was just gonna say, like, not like this late in the season. I think if it was like they're going to play Philly and then like the next week they're playing like at Carolina or something, I think like maybe that might cause issues with like jet lag or like are they going to stay on the West or on the East Coast. But maybe like very marginally, but I don't think it'll be enough to like cause, like, that's going to be the reason why they lose. But it might. I mean, like, these guys are so like regimented with their routines and everything, so I'm kind of talking myself out of it, but like it might be like a little bit of a factor.
Yeah, no, and that was like my thing too. I think I'm kind of like, yeah, I think it might be a little bit of a factor, and the only reason why I think it matters so much for this game particularly is because it's against Philly, and like Philly just won a Super Bowl what, 4 or 5 years ago. So it's like those fans are like, okay, we know what this is like. We've had the success, like we're basically biting at the bit to like get back here, and they're gonna do the same thing. So it's like, I think if they were playing anybody else in the cold weather thing, like let's say if it was like San Fran versus Green Bay, and if you had that. And it was at Lambeau. I think, yeah, like you would have it a little bit, but all at the same time, like Green Bay, last time the Super Bowl was what, 20, was it 11? Was it 10?
10, yeah.
10, yeah. So it's like, it had been a minute, but I think with Philly, it's like, okay, we're the one seed. We're right here again, about to do the same thing we just did like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, they got like Lane Johnson and like Jason Kelce, Brandon Graham, a bunch of turnover, or a bunch of guys are still there.
So I think if it was anybody else, it wouldn't play a terribly big factor. And even in this one, like Emilio said, I think it's very marginal, but I think it's like more than it would be for some other teams. But I do agree with Emilio though at the same time. Like these guys, like you said, they're regimented. Like they have a certain way they do things. They're used to certain things. So yeah, it's definitely going to play a little bit of a factor, but I don't think anything crazy.
Yeah. Are you guys, as far as coaching goes, I mean, I feel like Shanahan's obviously the better of the two coaches right now, given the experience. But
I agree, but I feel like right now, like the national media is like dogging on Sirianni too much. So like, Howie Roseman got him all these weapons and all these players, but like you still got to go out there and coach.
So either, yeah.
Right.
That's another chip on the shoulder though too for Philadelphia. I feel like there's a lot of like on both ends though too, but I feel like that could be a chip on the shoulder for him because it's like, I mean, I feel like on one end you can sit there and say, okay, there are so many weapons. Like we saw that with Steve Kerr, like when he got Golden State, like, right. But you still have to know how to use those
right
weapons though, too. Exactly. So like, I got to give Purdy his respect though too, because okay, granted, like you may have been Mr. Irrelevant, but you still have to know how to handle whether it's egos or whether it's talent or whatever, like sharing the ball with, like you said, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be able to manage that. And so we've seen that not work out, and we've seen that work out before. And it's just like that deserves a lot of respect, though, in my eyes.
Yeah. So, definitely.
I think whoever wins the turnover battle is going to win the game.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, this is totally going to go against everything I've said so far since we've done
this. I was about to say, I feel like everything you've been saying.
So my pick is San Francisco, but when I look at Philly's defenses all around, I like Philly's secondary much more than San Francisco's. Not by a lot, but like a little bit more. And then the defensive line, it's like, I mean, that's like Philly's defense is so hard to go against, bro. Like when you just look at, I mean, we always talk about in sports how people are good on paper, but like when you watch them play, it doesn't match up. I mean, I think Philly's defense, they're as good as advertised. So it's like, that's going to be tough. And I could see them getting more turnovers, or forcing more turnovers than San Francisco's defense. But I just like San Francisco's offense so much more. I mean, we're not really in a league anymore where it's defense wins championships, kind of like with the Legion of Boom and those guys. It really is about, you know, what you can do offensively. And I just like, like I said, I just like San Francisco's weapons a little bit more, I think, than Philly's. But I don't know. The turnover battle is going to be an interesting one.
I'm going to say this, though, too, because I know that you're saying they're as good as advertised, but, like, I don't think that there's enough people that are really sold on Philadelphia's defense, though.
Either. I am.
I get it, but when you talk about the NFL, we do talk about, like, the Dallas defense. We talk about the San Francisco defense. We might even talk about, even, like, in the regular season, though, too. You know what I mean? Like, the Denver defense or whatever. Like, Philadelphia's defense has been, like, for the most part, pretty solid, whether it's turnovers or getting sacks. Mm-hmm. So it's just another game where they can get sacks, because we didn't see a whole lot. Like, Dallas played amazing in that game, but they didn't turn the ball over. There were a couple plays where, like, Brock Purdy should have thrown a pick or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to tie it in, though, too. We're talking about that hostile environment, playing it off, like, on the road.
Mm-hmm.
If turnover happens, whether it's in the first two drives, whether it's in the first quarter, how does he respond?
Right.
That is going to tell me a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cantley, I feel like I got to bring it up, though.
Yeah.
San Francisco does have an all-pro on every single level of the defense. First-team all-pro, too.
See, so, that's crazy.
Got to respect that a little bit.
You do have – yeah, sure. You definitely have to respect that.
But then Philly, they have, like – you probably know this, Miles. Is it 9 Pro Bowlers or 8 Pro Bowlers? Because it's either 8 Pro Bowlers and then 9 alternates or 9 Pro Bowlers.
I think it's not – it's 8 and then the alternates all together.
Which is still ridiculous because that's –
that's crazy.
That's like over half of your starting lineup.
Yeah. It's, man. It's,
they, no, they, I mean, like, from, like I said, from a statistical standpoint, like, and again, not taking anything away from San Francisco. I mean, Nick Bosa is going to be a problem. Armstrong is going to be a problem. Like, Fred Warner, I'm sitting there watching that game. I mean, he's literally flying every, like, if you ever see, like, a tackle on the field, he's always there somehow, some way, or he's always over there. So
I saw this post. It was like, Nick Bosa is going to be extra motivated because this is the city that they stole the 2020 election.
I saw that. I saw that too.
That's accurate. Oh, we got big Bosa fans on this thing.
He hates Beyonce.
Yeah. Oh, D-Way too, I think. Okay, so AFC Championship. Bengals and Chiefs, man. So let me ask you guys before we give our picks for this game. Does it mean anything, like, to either of these quarterbacks, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, like, their legacy if they lose? Because I hear some people like, oh, well, like, if Patrick Mahomes loses to Joe Burrow again, then it's like, well, he's not – I'm just like – to me, it doesn't mean anything. Because if you look at what Mahomes has already done, I mean, like, that's crazy. I mean, you're 27 years old. You already have an MVP. You have a Super Bowl. It's like you're in your fifth AFC Championship game in a row. So in my mind, whoever loses this game – I don't really think, like, it's an indictment on, like, their legacy. And plus, Joe Burrow, if he does lose, I mean, this is only, what, his third season playing? So, I mean, you'll have plenty of time. So, to me, really, there's not, like, that much on the line in this game. But I think it is a heavy-hitting game for sure.
I feel like this might be a very unpopular opinion. I feel like Joe Burrow has more to lose if he doesn't, like, go back to the Super Bowl with this one. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I say that, though, too, is because I think this is the second year in a row where even coming into the season, nobody expected them to be here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, they're there. Like, take advantage of the moment kind of thing. Where, like, Patrick Mahomes, we kind of expect him to be at least in the AFC Championship game every year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it really, like, hurts him even if he loses this game. Because, again, we're literally just talking about one game away into the Super Bowl. And these guys are both in their mid to late 20s. So, like, I don't really, like... I feel like it's so early to talk about legacy impact right now. It's so early to talk about that, but I do feel like as far as like who should take advantage of the moment more, I feel like it's got to be Burrow. But I don't think it impacts his legacy any more or less if he doesn't win this game. Like,
well, it's one of those things too where even when Josh Allen lost last week, everybody's like, oh, see, like he's not, and I'm just like, okay, guys, like it's just one of those things where, I mean, we saw in the AFC for damn near 20 years, it was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, these guys were all like beating up on each other. Now, I know Brady has the 6 championships, but still, I mean, like these guys were beating the hell out of each other for the better part of 20 years. And I think we're really just now starting to see that with Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes. So that's what I'm saying. It's super early. So I don't really have, like I said, much to say about that on those ends. Like who,
like a legacy impact.
Yeah, it's just so
and
early.
You just said it. We talked about this last time, though, too. It's like seeing these guys play for like 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. I mean, if we're talking about guys that are like 27, and I think Burrow's like, what, 25?
Well, Mahomes, he's the oldest. He was the oldest AFC quarterback, wasn't he? Yeah. I remember Amelia, you told me.
That's crazy.
27 and 24, 25. It's like, okay, these guys are easily going to be in the league for the next 15 or 20 years, period. Yeah.
Exactly.
Period. Like I ain't talking about legacy right now. Like it's too early to be saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the guys hasn't even got a contract yet outside of the rookie deal.
So exactly. Like, and that was that the other kind thing of. Too. Yeah, go ahead, Amelia.
Oh, I was gonna say that was one of my points that I was gonna say. Miles had said that he thinks that Burrow has more to lose or like more to gain from getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. Because I agree. Because one, well, Patrick Mahomes already has a Super Bowl. He already has a Super Bowl MVP. But you know. Some of the talk earlier in this week was the general manager of the Bills, Brandon Bean, was saying how, you know, we're paying Stephon Diggs this much money. We're paying Josh Allen this much money while the Bengals aren't paying Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So, like, their window, as long as those two guys are around, the window is going to be open. But right now it's the max, you know, the best chance while Burrow's still making money on his rookie contract. You can pay all these other guys to give him that support. So he definitely has more to gain, but like you said, I don't think it'd be fair to criticize his legacy over this because what are we going to say about Justin Herbert? What are we going to say about Josh Allen? What are we going to say about these other guys who have been
Lamar Jackson,
yeah, just as long, if not longer, and haven't had as much success. I mean, Joe Burrow, he has more playoff wins than my Minnesota Vikings do in the last 15 years, probably. And it's only been 2 years for him. So, you know,
yeah,
we get to this point where, you know, the more you give, the more they expect. So, I don't think anyone has anything to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like you said, Amelia, the AFC is going to be a dogfight. And I think outside of just Allen, Mahomes and Joe Burrow, like you're going to have, you know, one or two other guys every here and there who they're going to have like a moment where they do get one of those guys and knock them off. Depending on, you know, where Lamar Jackson is up next season. I mean, they're going to have, it's not going to just be 20 straight years of like these three, 15, 20 years, like of these three only. I think somebody else is going to have, cause even for as bad as Russell Wilson was this year, like, I don't see that happening again next year. I'm sorry. I don't see that being a thing. Now, am I saying they're going to be in the Super Bowl or anything? I'm not saying that, but I can see them being in the mix. You know, I don't see them being as terrible as they were this year.
Kenny Pickett finished his rookie year strong. Overall pick will probably be at AFC. Colts will probably draft someone too.
Yeah.
Colts and Texans.
Well, and that was the other point I was going to, and I feel like Amelia brought that up, but that conference is going to be changing. So it's like,
yeah.
I feel like Burrow is in a way more competitive conference or division, I guess, with Pittsburgh, with Baltimore, with Cleveland. Like, you can't expect them to be playing like that every single year, like where it's either injuries or whether they're just not like clicking or whatever. And so that's where I've like talked about that window with Burrow. Like it's kind of more like it's open now compared to like in a year or two from now. But
yeah,
I mean, legacy, it's a little early, but yeah, but, you know, it's always, we're talking about so many young guys in the same mix. You just never know what happens though either. So
yeah. But, matchup wise in this game, who do you guys like?
You know, last week I was the only one who took Buffalo in that game. The reason I did was because the Cincinnati Bengals were down three offensive starters on the line, which we knew last year was their big issue. We know we theorized if they had a better guard, center, tack, whatever it was, would Burrow have had more time to hit Chase on that last play of the Super Bowl? You know, we talked about that like all offseason, I felt like. So that was why I picked Buffalo. I'm not making that mistake again. I'm picking Cincinnati. I'm not doing any like spread or anything like that. No, I'm just straight up. I think Cincinnati is going to win.
Straight money line, baby.
Money line. We're going to get Emilio a segment called Money Line Millie.
You're right?
Money Line Millie. Straight up with the picks. Yeah.
That'd be dope. That's actually a pretty good one.
Everyone will be losing money, but.
He's like, don't listen. He's like, don't listen to me.
You got
to
bet $1 on this.
Right, yeah. I'll make you a whole background and everything for it. I'm going Cincinnati too with this one. I just think when you watch Joe Burrow, especially on that first drive last week playing Buffalo, I mean, the way he was just picking that defense apart, I mean, that was like.
They picked up where they left off from the unfortunate DeMar Hamlin game.
Yeah, definitely did. Yeah, he was out there picking him apart. So, and like, yeah, long story short, I'm going Cincinnati. I don't think we have to dive into it too much.
No, I was going to say, this is a sweep. I like Cincinnati. And the other factor we haven't really talked about is Mahomes' injury.
Yeah,
like, right.
That ankle. And so even though, like, he's not in the walking boot or anything like that, it's the running, it's the cutting, it's the doing
right.
You have to do outside of the pocket. And
it limits their play calling.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we can sit there and say, okay, he can still throw the ball, but like, that's not the only like tool that really Mahomes has in his pocket. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be other things. And so I feel like those will be limited. Granted, I will say one thing about Kansas City that's different than this year and compared to years past. They have a run game this year. They really do. They have a really strong running game. But like, when you're talking about Cincinnati, they can stop the run really, really well. And like, I just feel like right now they just, like you said, they picked up where they left off at. So
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun one. So yeah, I'm going with the Bengals 49ers Super Bowl. And like I said before, I'm gonna have to bring the tweet back up when it happens. But
yes, I know your tweet.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to bring it back up when we
pin it.
I do have to pin it when we get to the Super Bowl. You know what? When the 49ers and Chiefs played in the Super Bowl, I actually was 1 point off. I think on the
Dude,
score.
Same.
Yeah,
same,
I was like 1 point off. Yeah.
When like Daryl Williams got that touchdown at the end, like the garbage time touchdown, I was like, oh my God, I have a chance.
Dude, yeah, I was like, maybe this, yeah, we'll do the scores and everything for the Super Bowl. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to doing it with you guys.
But
to hop off this podcast, where can people find you guys on social media, Miles?
You can't find me.
Yeah, just Google it, man. I'm tired of asking for your damn
you
social media handle every time we do this. Amelia, where can...
Emilio Huncho on Instagram. And if you like European football, check out the Starting 11 podcast on Blaze Review too.
I was just about to plug that if you weren't going to, so I'm so glad you did. So glad you did. I enjoy you guys on there, man. I love how when you send me the description of every episode, it's always like the lads.
I know, like, you play I was on that, texting yeah. the boys, and I was like, you lot want to watch some football this weekend? Get some for the pint? You know.
Dude, I love you guys on there, man. I have to listen to this week's episode still, but you guys are a lot of fun with that, and you guys do a good job with it, so I appreciate that. Every week, you guys are really good with it, so.
Well, we appreciate you, bro. You put us together and make this happen.
Man,
I like
look,
having fun with bantering. I didn't get to say it. I'm just gonna say it before we hop off.
What's
I
up?
Didn't miss a pick last week. I just want to say that.
Oh, here we go. I
had to say it.
Oh, I did.
I liked how everybody's picks were different, though. All of our picks were different.
Yeah.
They were all different.
I almost went Dallas just to be different, but I was like, I don't actually believe it, though. So I was like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
See, I actually believed New York. I actually believed Jacksonville.
I know. I was sitting there. I was like, do you really want to have this going up?
I think my Vikings defense was just so bad that they made New York look like the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by that game, by the way, with Philadelphia, New York, Emilio? Because, I mean, I know you watched the first game, so that's why I'm curious.
I was surprised in the sense that I thought, like, New York might be able to get a little bit more offense in against you guys. But I thought Philly was going to win. I mean, like, the two regular season games were pretty bad, so. Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to do it like that. I was nervous. I actually told Cantley, I was nervous. I was like, I don't think. Because it's like, again, you play them two times now. You think they'd be able to figure it out at some degree.
Like, and I think the Vikings defense was just that bad. Like obviously, I'm a fan. So I was probably a little, drinking that purple Kool-Aid. Didn't actually realize how bad it was.
all do it every now and again. It's fine.
Right.
Fine. Yeah.
Well, see, it's better you drink purple Kool-Aid than brown Kool-Aid. So.
Yeah, that's not Kool-Aid. That's.
Yeah, I'll say orange Kool-Aid. Orange Kool-Aid.
There you go.
What's that? The orange Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Orange soda, bro.
Yeah. So, well, all right, fellas. Yeah, good talking to you guys on the Pylon Podcast.
Always.
Everybody, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll check you guys out.